Just William 10. Stories by Richmal Crompton. Read by Martin Jarvis. William and the Chinese God. The outlaws were just passing the house of Mr. Markson, their fearsome headmaster. William remarked, somewhat rashly, "I'm not frightened of old Marky." The other outlaws immediately dared him to enter old Marky's house. They all knew he was still in his study at school, marking papers.
"Go on, then," said Ginger. "Just walk into his house and take something, just to prove you aren't frightened of him."
William's blood was up. "All right," he said. "I'll show you." He climbed in through a conveniently open window and was back a minute later holding out his booty. It was a small and, though William did not know it, very valuable Chinese figure of a god.
"There," he said carelessly. "Sort of pot thing out of his drawing room. Do you think I'm afraid of him now?"
They gazed at him speechless. William had once again consolidated his position as leader.
"Well, now you've got to put it back," said Henry.
But at that moment, a tall, ferocious-looking figure appeared at the end of the lane. By the time Mr. Markson reached his gate, the outlaws were mere specks on the horizon. Back at home, William, having caught sight of his reflection in the full-length drawing-room mirror, was alarmed to discover that the Chinese figure made a bulge in his pocket. His mother was by the window, looking out. Swiftly, he transferred the figure from his pocket to a small table by the wall just where he stood. He put it well at the back of a lot of other ornaments. It could surely stay there quite safely till the coast was clear for somehow returning it to old Marky's. He joined his mother at the window. Suddenly, he saw Mr. Markson coming along the road. Oh, no! He was turning in at the gate of William's house. And here, on a table, reposed Mr. Markson's Chinese figure. Mr. Markson entered the room, followed by Ethel, William's sister, and two old ladies, acquaintances of Mrs. Brown. They were all gathering to discuss preparations for the forthcoming village pageant. Mr. Markson took no notice of William. He knew, of course, that there was a small boy in the room who might or might not be a pupil at his school, but out of school hours, Mr. Markson ignored all small boys on principle. To William, the Chinese figure seemed to dominate the room. Instinctively, he stepped in front of the table between the now hateful figure and its rightful owner. Ethel, Mr. Markson, Mrs. Brown, and one of the old ladies sat at the other end of the room and began to discuss the pageant. The other old lady drifted across to William and sat down on a chair. She pointed kindly to another chair near her.
"Pray don't stand, little boy," she said, "though it's nice to see a boy so polite nowadays."
William scowled.
"I'd rather stand, thanks," he said.
But the old lady persisted. "No, do sit down. I want to have a nice talk with you. I'm so fond of little boys. But you must sit, or I shan't feel comfortable."
William was disconcerted for a minute. Then he recovered his aplomb.
"I can't sit down," he said mysteriously.
She gaped at him, amazed.
"Oh, why, dear?" she said.
"I've hurt my legs," said William. "I can't bend my knees, not for sitting down. I got to stand."
"My poor little boy, I'm so sorry. Do you have to stand up all the time? What do the doctors say?"
"Well, they say just that I've got to stand up all the time."
"But there's hope of your being cured, I suppose, dear?"
"Oh, yes," William reassured her.
"When do they say you'll be all right?" she went on earnestly.
"Oh, any time after today," said William, unthinkingly.
"You can lie down, I suppose?"
"Oh, yes, yes. I can go to bed at night and that sort of thing."
"Well, dear, won't you come and lie down now? We'll go over to the window, and you can lie down on the sofa, and I'll sit on that chair, and we'll have a nice little talk. It's so pleasant over there in the sunshine."
William moistened his lips.
"I think I won't move, thank you," he said.
But you can walk, dear, can't you?
Oh, yes, I can walk, but...
Inspiration came with a flash.
But I'm not supposed to be in the light because I've got bad eyes.
The old lady gazed at him weakly.
Bad eyes, did you say?
Oh, yes, said William pleasantly. I can't stand the light. I've got to stay in dark places because of my eyes.
Oh, but how terrible. Oh, bad legs and bad eyes. It's almost incredible.
She gazed in silence at his stolid and almost crudely healthy countenance, while a dim suspicion crept into her mind that it was, indeed, incredible.
But of course, she thought, it might be true. One did hear of sad cases of terrible illnesses among quite young children.
She crossed over to the other group.
I'm so sorry to hear of your poor little boy's ill health, Mrs. Brown, she said.
There was a moment's silence, broken by William, who fled from the room with the speed of an arrow from a bow. Mrs. Brown's bewilderment was lost in a sudden exclamation of astonishment from Mr. Markson, who was staring at the little table of ornaments that William's flight had revealed.
Excuse me, he said, and going across the room, he picked up the Chinese ornament. Most extraordinary. I have an exact replica of this at home. May I ask, Mrs. Brown, did you get it in England?
Mrs. Brown looked at the little ornament with a puzzled frown.
My husband must have got it, she said. He's mad on them. He's always bringing them home.
Most interesting, said Mr. Markson, still examining the figure. I must have a talk with him about it. I quite understood that mine was unique.
There came the sound of the tea gong. As soon as the guests were safely in the dining room, William re-entered the drawing room. He must take the thing away at once, before old Marky spotted it. He slipped the little figure into his pocket, crept stealthily out of the front door, and set off at a run down the road. He felt a great relief. The danger was over. He could easily slip the thing into its place again before old Marky returned home.
Oh, it's William Brown, isn't it?
He turned with an inward groan. It was Mrs. Franks. Unchilled by his expression, she greeted him effusively.
Just the boy I wanted to meet. I want you to take a note to your mother, dear. Just come back with me and I'll write it out for you.
15 minutes later, he was still sitting fuming inwardly in Mrs. Franks's drawing room while she wrote the note. Every moment made the return of the figure more dangerous. Then his eyes filled with horror. Old Marky was coming up the drive of Mrs. Franks's house. A sudden panic came over William. Not only did the Chinese figure protrude conspicuously from his pocket, but its head was distinctly visible. Anything rather than be caught by old Marky. He took it out and slipped it with feverish haste upon the top of the piano behind a small Dresden china shepherdess. Mrs. Franks went on writing. Mr. Markson entered. He threw a quick glance at William and then proceeded to ignore him. His business with Mrs. Franks concerned the village pageant. But in the middle of their conversation, his eyes wandered to the piano and his voice died away. His jaw dropped open. William stared fixedly in front of him.
Excuse me, Mrs. Franks, said Mr. Markson, advancing to the piano, but most extraordinary.
He picked up the little figure and examined it. His perplexity increased.
Most extraordinary. Three in the same village, and I was assured that mine was unique.
To what do you refer, Mr. Markson?
Said Mrs. Franks pleasantly.
This little Chinese figure on the piano, said Mr. Markson.
Oh, the shepherdess,
said Mrs. Franks, fixing her short-sighted eyes vaguely in that direction.
It's not a shepherdess, pardon me, said Mr. Markson courteously. It's a Chinese god.
Oh, fancy that now. And I always thought it was a shepherdess.
No, not at all. Forgive the impertinence, Mrs. Franks, but did you get the figure at a curio dealer's?
No, Mr. Markson, my aunt left it to me. Oh, but fancy it being a Chinese god, and all these years I've thought it was a shepherdess.
The chiming of the clock reminded Mr. Markson that he wanted to take a short walk before dinner, so he departed with one last perplexed look at the Chinese figure on the piano.
"Oh, William," said Mrs. Franks, "I'll just address the envelope and then you can take it."
As she did so, William slipped the figure back into his pocket.
"Here it is, dear," said Mrs. Franks, handing him the envelope.
He seized the note and hurried out into the road. Old Markey had said he was going for a walk. That would give him plenty of time to put the thing back. The front door of Markey's house was unlocked. William entered the hall, taking the figure out of his pocket. He stood for one moment irresolute. Then the door of the room at the back of the hall opened and old Markey came out. Mr. Markson had thought that clouds were gathering and had decided not to go for a walk before dinner after all.
"Who's that?"
he barked.
"What do you want, boy? Well, come in, come in."
William slowly advanced to the back room. A light of recognition dawned in Mr. Markson's eyes.
"Why, you're Mrs. Brown's boy."
"Yes, sir,"
said William tonelessly. Then Mr. Markson's eye fell upon the Chinese figure, which William was vainly trying to conceal with his hands.
"What?"
he began.
"You've brought your mother's Chinese figure?"
Yes, sir. She sent it, sir."
"Sent it?"
said Mr. Markson. His eyes gleamed with the greed of the collector.
"You mean... sent it?"
Yes, sir, said William with sudden inspiration. "She sent it to you to keep, sir."
"But how extraordinarily kind. I must write to her at once. How very kind. Oh, no, wait a minute. There's still the third. I'll write to Mrs. Franks, too. I'll ask Mrs. Franks if she can possibly trace the origin of her piece."
He was speaking to himself rather than to William.
"I'll just hint that I'd be willing to buy it if... sit down there and wait, boy." "Yes."
William sat down while Mr. Markson wrote at his desk. William stared desperately in front of him.
Crumbs, he was in it now, right up to the neck.
Mr. Markson sealed the envelope, addressed it, and turned to William. Just then a maid entered with the evening post. Mr. Markson took it.
"Oh, bother," he said. "Here's a letter that must be answered by tonight's post. Do something for me, boy. Take this figure and put it on the table in the front room with its fellow, and then take that note to Mrs. Franks, will you?"
"Yes, sir,"
said William meekly, taking the envelope. But in the hall, he stopped. Mr. Markson would expect an answer from Mrs. Franks. And suddenly yet another inspiration came to him. He pocketed the figure again and set off down the road. He paused, waited, then turned back once again to Mr. Markson's. Old Markey was still writing. William took the Chinese figure out of his pocket.
"Mrs. Franks has sent you this, sir," he said in his most expressionless voice.
Mr. Markson's face beamed with joy.
"Well, sent it?" he gasped.
"Yes, sir. And she said, please, will you not write to her about it, or thank her, or ever mention it to her, please, sir?"
Well, what a delicacy of feeling that displays. How exceptionally kind."
He held up the china piece.
"The third. What almost incredible good fortune. The third. Now to put it with its two fellows."
He entered the front room. He looked from the figure in his hand to the empty table, where that figure had stood only a few hours ago. He looked from table to figure, from figure to table, and again from table to figure. Then he turned for an explanation from William. But William was no longer there.